Morning. It's good to be back here with Church of Ebenezer, not Ebenezer, but Monticello. I'm sorry, I go to so many places different weekends. It's a wonder I've got my own name straight. But here at Monticello, it's good to be back, and it's always as good to see each of you, and the Lord has blessed you and your lives to have enough health and strength to be here again. I hope and trust that all is well with you. Realizing that our lives are short, we are indeed. It seems like at times there's trouble on every hand. But then again, we look around and see the flowers like this here come out. We're reminded again those things that looked dead just a few short weeks ago, here they are now, first and foremost, with all the color we just see. So I think that sometimes we're like that. You know, we go through seasons. I believe biblically you can prove that. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. Now, here's Paul, a preacher, an apostle, writing to another minister and telling him to be instant in season and out of season. There are times when the gospel, it seems, has more power. Touches our hearts more, and then there's those seasons when it's a dry spell or for whatever reason a drought. Thank be unto God that it's not always that we're going to be so cold and different. And I hope this morning that the Spirit of the Lord will bless us, that our hearts will be open just as these dogwood and azalea blooms have opened up, that our hearts will also be open up. And beautiful colors that He has placed in there. Shine forth again. I don't know of any particular announcements at this time. And next, our
next
communion
Sunday
is our communion here, Monticello. We certainly want to invite each of you to come be with us. We will have dinner on the grounds, and certainly we would love to have each of you come out to the service, and also to come and observe the communion. And also have lunch with us here on the grounds. We'd love to have you. I want you to feel free to do that. I do want to announce also that, Lord willing, the singing school at Parkview, I have already announced this and mentioned this, it will be held July 7th to July 11th at Parkview Church. It will start at 7 o'clock in the evening and go till 9 or 9:30 in the evening on Monday through Friday. Know a little more about how to pitch a song or how to read a note, how to follow a tune, then all you have to do is show up there. My brother Sonny Lawrence, I believe he's from Texas, is what I would say. Is that right? Mississippi, he may be, but he's from somewhere other than North Carolina. Does a lot of recording, a lot of singing on Elder Bradley's broadcast. He will be there to teach school. So, we'd like to invite each of you. If you have a mind to come, then please do so. There'll be soup and sandwiches served before the singing school. I think it'll start about 5:45 to about 6:45. And then they'll clean up and go upstairs and sing. So, I want to announce that again. Also, Lord willing, third weekend of September, Ebenezer Church, or the other church that I'm part of, pastor, is going to have their annual meeting. That would be on Saturday and Sunday there, and that's down near Leesburg. So that's probably about, from here, probably about 45 minutes now at most. Those members have come here, and I certainly would like to invite each of you, Lord willing. I've tried to kind of hog-tie my dad. promised to be with us on Saturday and Sunday. I know that's the weekend of the Bear Creek Association, but it's a situation where they're going to have more preachers than they can shake a stick at down there, and we're a small handful, and hopefully the Lord will bless. We intend to have a wonderful meeting, and He's promised to be there, and there's going to be several other preaching brethren. I've also called Sam Bryant to see if I can get him, and so he's kind of put me on a hold pattern. He didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. So, Lord willing, he's normally at the Bear Creek on Friday, and So maybe we can get him to come on up Saturday and get their rips. I will be announcing that more as we go. Are there any other announcements there? Well, if no other announcements, then we want to stand and sing a song. Let's see here. There's one right here. Hymn number 95. I don't know what page that's on. I can find it faster by hymn. Page 40. We'll sing the first three and the last. For we can work. Wait, excuse me, I got the wrong tune. For we can worthless though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He loves with, he freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood, and by his power my foes controlled. He found me wandering far from God, and brought me to his chosen fold. He cheers my heart, my want supplies, and says that I shall shortly be enthroned with him above the skies. Oh, what a friend is Christ to me. Sure, were not I most vile and base, I could not thus my friend requite. And were not he the God of grace, he frowned and spurned me from his side.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again we have the privilege of bowing before thee to thank thee for the blessings and prospects of another day. And today, dear God, that we've been afforded by thy own grace and thy mercy, by thy providential care and keeping over each one of us here. Father, we come before thee this morning to thank thee for the blessings of life, for health and strength, for the ability to live and move and have our being. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of meeting together in thy meeting house. Yes, as a part of thy church. We thank you, Father, for the places not only here, but the places like it across this land. For thy children have met together to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we confess before thee that we have sinned and come short of thy glory. We confess before thee, dear God, in our flesh, no good thing dwells. And we stand before thee again, Father, as always, as beggars. And we ask that it might please thee to send us away here today justified, not of ourselves, but of thee. Father God, this morning we realize that the many blessings of life we've taken for granted. Many times, Father, we've looked at things that been no benefit unto us. Failed to remember the blessings that we've been able to take of. Father, we ask that thou would accept our thanksgiving for each and every blessing that was bestowed. The greatest blessing of all is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for strength as a people. That thou would bless us, Lord, to love thee more than we have in the past. We pray, asking, Lord, that Thou would bless us to love one another more than we have in the past. Father, we ask that Thou would continue to go with us and guide us for Thy name's sake. Father, we realize that many times we don't know what to ask. Many times we ask amiss, misguided by our own lust, misguided by a lack of faith. We ask this morning that Thou would increase our faith. We ask that Thou would confess before Thee that we believe and ask that Thou would help our unbelief. Dear Lord, we realize that outside of Thee we are nothing and less than nothing. Outside of Thy Spirit this morning, dear God, our efforts to worship Thee will be vain. Thou hast all the blessings of life. Thou hast all wisdom, all truth, all power. And Thou art altogether good and lovely. We ask that Thou would accept our praise this morning unto Thee, and unto the name of Thy Son, and to Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, that it might please Thee, O God, to come and dwell among us, that Thou would take up an abode not only in the meeting house here, but within each of our hearts. And Father, help us as we leave here not to shut that in, but help us to pass it on to others. That indeed, as Thy Word teaches, it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to give those things which Thou hast blessed us to have, that we might indeed receive the greater blessing, and that is being obedient unto Thee. Father, we pray, asking that Thou would remember those that are sick and afflicted. We ask that Thou would remember Sister Smith, and Lord, there's many others that we've received reports on that by man's thinking it's indeed grim and tragic. But Father, we realize there is no case that Thou hast ever lost. And if it be Thy will, O Lord, that it would please Thee to restore a reasonable degree of health to those who call out to Thee from their beds. But Father, we must pray within Thy will. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And many times, Father, we do not understand Thy will. But we would ask that Thou would give us the grace to accept it. And we pray, dear Father, that Thou would be with those who need Thee most. Be with those, Father, who are, as we have said, are sick, those that have lost loved ones, those that are cast down, those that are hungry and destitute. May it please Thee to be with them especially. Father, after Thou hast remembered all them, we ask that Thou would remember us. That Thou might be merciful again as Thou hast in days gone by. Go with us and keep us now, we pray. We pray for our leaders and those who rule over us. That Thou might continue to lead them and that they would seek Thy wisdom. And that it might please Thee to send it. Father, if they reject that, may it please Thee to restrain them for the good of Thy people and the good of this nation. We thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, most of all for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that He has done for us. There is no way to repay, no way to recount all the blessings. There is no way, dear God, to comprehend the magnitude of what He has done for us. We ask that Thou would increase our understanding and our faith, that we might be better servants unto Thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake we beg. Amen.
Speak to you this morning on a subject that's found throughout God's Word. It's one that I some time ago tried to speak on this, and it seems to be, I don't know why it's on my mind this morning, but I hope that God will bless it, that you will hear it, and it might be pleasing in His sight. I want to speak to you realize there's many here today. And I thought that maybe this morning I was, it's been a kind of a situation where I've noticed that there's several who come and been with us and started to come. And, you know, there's a constant need to reaffirm the things that you think you take for granted, such as our doctrine. I think last time I was here, I tried to speak on the doctrine of election. Then there's a lot of other things that need to be taught over and over again, because one thing or another, yes, several of you come every first Sunday, and you say, well, he's preached on that before. Well, that may be true. And it may be such that it's God that has placed that thought upon my mind because he realizes that you may need to hear it again. Or a lot of times it may be newer people that are new people, visitors coming, that need to hear it also. And so teaching is a gradual thing. Apostle Peter is talking about stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Well, to remember something, you have to have already had it in there to remember. And so my purpose a lot of times is to stir up that pure mind by way of remembrance, maybe not telling you anything new, but again, bringing the same message again and again, so where it gives reaffirmation and it causes you to stir up on the inside those things and to dwell upon those things and to meditate upon those things that you've already known and maybe we've just sat on the shelf. But this morning, I thought, like I said, that was my intention, but this thought keeps coming to my mind and I don't know any other thing to do but just go with it. It's not a situation where it's a doctrinal point, but it's one that's taught throughout God's Word. In the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, and this applies to not only, sometimes some sermons you can preach on the resurrection, and yes, it applies to all of us, but it seems to me to get sweeter as the years go by. And you say, well, Dwayne, you're not that old. I'm not. I just turned 34. But you know, it means more to me now than it did when I was, say, 15. When I was 15, I thought I was going to live forever. I thought that I had the tiger by the tail, so to speak, and that I would never see my demise. But you know, I get up in the morning now and I look in that mirror, you know, just stagger in there, and I look in that mirror and I see gray hairs up here on my temples, and I see what used to be lovingly referred to as smile marks, which are now crow's feet. I see the bags under my eyes, and believe me, for the last 2 months, I've seen a lot of them since we've got a new one that's not sleeping through the night. And so I notice these things, that I am aging. And I know that I don't have the vim and vigor that I had when I was 15 or 16. And therefore, I can read about the doctrine of the resurrection. Not only that, as I've gotten older, I've been faced with situations now, and especially being a minister, where tragic things, it would seem, those who have bad things happen at an early age, and it seems to hurt so bad. And so therefore, the only place that I can go to get comfort from that is from the Word of God. The doctrine of resurrection means a lot more to me now than it did when I was a child. So I could preach on the resurrection. And yes, we might all go here, if the Lord blessed, and it would be a joyous occasion. But yet the young children there, they might not get a whole lot out of that at this time. And so there's other sermons that you could, definitely topics that will mean something to one and maybe not to another. This morning, this subject here is one that applies to each and every one of us. I want to speak from the 22nd chapter as a starting point of Proverbs. And here is a verse that I want to bring forward. And bless, I hope that God will bless it. Many of us studied in school a man after the name of William Shakespeare. And I believe it was in one of the pieces of work that he wrote, I think Romeo and Juliet. He asked this question, what is in a name? what is in a name? And I want to go this morning and use God's Word to try to relay what's in a name. There's a lot in a name. Over in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, Solomon writes here, he says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now I want to read that again. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Solomon here is making a statement. He's saying that your good name or a good name is something rather to be had than great riches. Now, you think, well, what? And this applies, I know the older members here, you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Yeah, I want you to realize that as long as you're on this earth, you've got some kind of name. You go to people around town where you live, and if I were to walk up there and ask, say, do you know Brother Clyde Haynes? They say, well, I sure do. So he's a fine man. Or Brother Haynes could have lived his life in such a way, and I know he hasn't. His wife, Miss Haynes, Sister Haynes, I know she's not lived her life in such a way that I go over there to Reedsville and I say, you know the Haynes? They say, yeah, you better stay away from them. What's wrong? It's a problem with the name. They've done something to taint that name. Now, they haven't done that. I could go over there to Reedsville and I feel almost assured that I could say, you know Brother Clyde Haynes? They'd say, I sure do. Said, I know that man. He'd give you the shirt off his back. I say, and even more so in this part of the woods, I could say, do you know any Lambeths around here? And they'd probably say, well, which one is it that I don't know? And they're just all over the place, it would seem, around in this area. And their name would be something that's going to represent something. And young folks, I see Addison and Ryan here, Michelle, and all of us here, we have some type of name. And it takes to have a good name. You know how long it takes you to have that? It takes every day, and it takes a lifetime to have that. And that's a lot of hard work. Sometimes it's a hard thing to have a good name and to maintain it. It's something that you must protect and keep daily. Because the sad thing about having a good name is that it takes you a lifetime to keep, and it only takes you 1 minute to destroy it. You ever thought about that? It only takes 1 minute to destroy a good name. King Solomon said this, and I say this because he was one of the wisest men that ever lived. He said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Excuse me, than silver and gold. It ought to bring us to a good point. And I've got two boys of my own and now a little girl. And the biggest thing that I can try to stress to them is to do that which would keep their name good. One of the greatest things that I could pass on to my children is a good name. You know, I'm able now to go into Winston-Salem or Kernersville. I'm able to go in and out among the old Baptists about anywhere in this probably southeastern United States or even the eastern half of the United States. And they find out that my dad is E.W. Hooven and my mother is Linda Hooven. And because of that, I would be accepted into their home based on my parents' good name. Now, as a parent, what a responsibility that is. As a grandparent, what a responsibility that is to pass a name on to your children and your grandchildren that they would be able to go somewhere and be known based upon their name. But it only takes, sad to say, only a moment to turn that away or tarnish that. And I hope to look at an example of that a little later on. But I want to notice this also, and especially for the young folks here. One of the greatest things that you'll be able to do as a parent, and you say, well, what is that? Sure, you can teach them right from wrong. We must do that. But one thing I must do for my children is that I must teach them to choose good friends. You say, why is that? I'll tell you, you think back in your lifetime what it meant. And one thing that I've been blessed with in my life, and I say blessed, it wasn't necessarily that I had chosen, but a lot of times it seemed like they found me, was good friends, good people. People that also had a good name and were interested in keeping it. And a good name for us individually this morning is a wonderful thing, and it is a rich blessing. Children sometimes get to looking at their parents. Maybe my mom and dad's not been able to get me a new car.
Maybe they've not bought me all the things, or able to afford me all the things that these other children were able to have. And there's many of our children, and I don't say this to be critical, but I know for a fact that there's many that have all the material things of this world, and yet their name is something that whenever they find it, there's so-and-so is a boy or a girl, it would be a kind of a mark against them. And that's a shame. I'd rather have the good name than to have all these material things out here in this world. Solomon said it was better to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than that of silver and gold. That means more than to have all the things that this world has to offer. Now, I want to notice something about a name. Sometimes we say maybe names aren't that important. But I want you to know this much. God didn't say that. God didn't say that a name's not important. As a matter of fact, you go read the Ten Commandments. What is one of the commandments? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because he will not hold him guiltless. He will not do that. In other words, don't take his name in vain. And to realize that the name of the Lord is something, and there's different aspects that we can look at. Looking at it is from a personal standpoint, yes, for us to have a good name, it is rather to be chosen than silver, great riches. And loving favor than silver and gold. I had rather have that good name on a personal level. But you realize also that on a larger level, God, when God dealing with his people, that's based upon his name. He says over in the book of Isaiah, he says, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image. And there's many, my friends, we live in a world that is constantly taking that glory, that which we ought to be praising God for and looking up and thanking him daily. We look now, we've just sent, I think, a shuttle back up into space, and their key purpose there is this. As you say, well, to study space. Well, that's true. But you know what they're looking for? They're trying to see where we came from. Now, that's ludicrous, isn't it? God told us in the very first verse of the Bible where we came from. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God told us where we came from, he tells us where we are, and he tells us where we're going. And yet we're spending billions upon billions of dollars to send men to the space to try to find out where we came from. And they'll say, oh, we're running a bunch of tests. But what are they trying to find? They're trying to find life on Mars. Why? Because they want to find somewhere else that can sustain human life, because it throws them off that there's only one planet out here that has human life on it. I don't care if they look at all the planets in this galaxy, in this universe. That doesn't make any difference to me. All I know is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. I love that verse. Because the world in which he's talking about, and you say, well, you have to clarify that world, and you most certainly do. You say, I meant all of Adam's race. You can't prove that by God's word. You say, well, it means world. But look at John. John, the writer that wrote that verse right there, you go to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. There's three different types of world right there in one verse. And so whenever John says, for God so loved the world, what world was he talking about? He's talking about the world of his elect, the world of his family. And remember, the other writers talked and confirmed that. Over in Luke, it said that when Jesus Christ was born, that I believe it was Caesar. I believe it was Caesar. Levied a tax against the whole world. Now, the only one that paid taxes was Roman world. That's the only one Roman had any authority over is the Roman world. There were American Indians that didn't pay taxes. There might have been Eskimos that didn't pay taxes. Why? They were not a part of that Roman world. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love that verse. I sure do. I don't care what they find out there in space. That does not really interest me at all. Now, I know they might find some things that would be beneficial to mankind. They might find a cure for cancer out there. Who knows? I don't know. But I know this much. I don't have to spend billions upon billions of dollars to send a man out there to try to find out where we came from. I'll take what thus saith the Lord about it, and what the Bible says about it, let God be true and every man a liar.
And they can come in here and tell us that it used to be a big bang theory. It was just one huge lump of mass. But you realize now that they reversed that, and the big bang now comes from a pinpoint of matter that is so dense that when it exploded, all the matter that you now see in the universe came out of it. Now you try to think about that for a minute. But here's the point I want to make about that. It would be such a small point that it's almost nothing. You realize that God created it all out of nothing. See, they're that close. They're just that close now to admitting that something came out of nothing. Now, I can live with that because that's how God set it up. He brought it out of nothing. But the Lord, I am the Lord, and that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. Are we giving glory to everything under the sun? We certainly are. We've got a big Earth Day in our schools now. We'll bow down to Mother Earth, but we won't bow our knees to our Father. We'll bow to Mother Earth. We'll give her a special day, but we won't put a Ten Commandments in a courthouse. I saw when the judge in Alabama now is taking a lot of heat over keeping the Ten Commandments in his courtroom. The Supreme Court of Alabama is now trying to get him to take it down. He's hanging tough. I hope he does. But his name. Let me ask you this. The Lord, the name of the Lord. Do you realize that each one of you that have been baptized, you've been baptized in what? The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Our church life, as we dwell here, is based on the name. On the name. We've been baptized in his name. How about this? When you go read the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we ask him, say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And see, we cut on TV and we'll see somebody there say, talk about God, the name of God, they'll say that. I've seen little posters up all over the place, Lordy, Lordy, so-and-so's 40. And I know it's meant in good humor. But that name, Lord, is not one to be taken lightly. What's in a name? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What's the name above every name? You say a good name, if you know somebody here, if you say, well, Dwayne Hooven's got a good name, that's not the best one. If you say, well, Billy Graham's got a good name, it is a good name. It's not the best one. Somebody might say, well, Pope John Paul's got a good name. May have, but guess what? It's not the best one. I'll give you the best name that's ever been named under heaven. You go over here to the Philippian letter. It talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. That Jesus, this one name Jesus, is Lord for the glory of God the Father. There's the name above every name. I'm going to ask you this morning, how are you taking that name? He's given you a good name. How are you using it? How are you using that name which he has given you? Just like I have the privilege of taking my Father's name. And I thank God that, and I'm thankful that he has given me a good name. But do you realize that Jesus Christ has given you a name even better than that of your parents? What are you doing with that name? How are you using it? We've been baptized in his name. How are we using it? Are we living one way on Sunday and then living another one Monday through Saturday? How are you using that name during the week? How should we be praying? Whenever you come to your, wherever your little Bethel spot may be, whenever you come there, whenever you offer a prayer into heaven, you want me to tell you how, on the only way that I know that it will be answered? Jesus Christ told his disciples over in the Gospel of John, he told them, I can't find it. He said, whatsoever you ask, ask in my name. In other words, we're going to ask in his name if we want to be heard. We're going to pray in his name. That's why we can say, well, why do you close out? Because these blessings we ask in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Why do you ask that? It's because we're commanded to pray in his name. The Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we come to meeting house, what we do in the meeting house ought to be in his name. Whenever we meet together, it ought to be in his name. Remember in the 18th chapter of Matthew, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Whenever we gather together in his name, not any other brother or sister, not grandpa or grandma, not because of mom and dad, but we're gathered there to meet and to worship in the name of the Lord. When two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's our service here. That's our service here. Whenever we pray, Jesus Christ taught us, hallowed be thy name. We're to pray in the name of the Heavenly Father. And we're to ask our petitions before heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whenever you became a member of this church, you were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And there's many, many references. Notice, go through and read him. Start reading about his name. Whenever the Lord... prayed there in the garden. He said, Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it and shall glorify it again. In the name of the Lord. We have people now that will stand up in front of large audiences and make jokes or take the Lord's name in vain. And there's people out there, and we live in a nation where people will pay money to sit there and listen to that thing. And what gets me about it a lot of times, if you'll notice, you get a movie, you rent a movie, or you go to a movie, and you just cut on your TV and notice the times it is taken from you. Right there in the living room. And they'll usually tie something that's funny to it so that you're laughing whenever it's said. I tell you, my friends, this nation here, we were like a lot of those countries. Whenever you said that name, or a name that applied or referred to one of their gods or whatever, and you laughed or you said something derogatory about it, they would take you up and stone you. If this nation had a little more or less tolerance there, I guarantee you we would not be in the shape that we're in today. But people don't fear the name of the Lord anymore. They don't fear the name of the Lord. They don't have any problems taking that name. And not only is what we speak how we take that name, but it's what we do also. Whenever you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of the Father, it's not a matter of you just walk around and say his name in a good context, but it's a matter of how you live also. Good name is thou to be chosen of great riches. Love and faith are better than silver and gold. There's more to it than just
you did ask. What's in the mirror? That's a lot more than we realize. But you know what? If we live our lives in a way that we're pleasing, trying to please God, and trying to take His name and use it in honor, and grace, and love, and we're trying to follow our Lord in the name that He's left us, Jesus Christ, you realize that you won't have to worry about your name? You will not have to worry about your name if you try to follow the first two. We live in a day and age now where it's a common thing to try to slander somebody's name. There's books written that tell all, especially after the person's dead. You know, that's the time to do it. They're not alive to defend themselves. So they'll write a book once they're dead and try to smear them all over the place. But thanks be unto God, they may laugh and they may mock at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now. There's a day coming, whenever He shall shout, and they have not left that name anymore. Not only that, but He realized that He knows you by name. You go to the 10th chapter of John, and you'll find there where the Lord writes, John writes, according to the Lord, in the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse. And in the 2nd verse, he says, "But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep." He's talking about Christ. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." You might ask, well, did he call you Dwayne? No. I don't know what he called me. There was a name that only he knows. And thanks be unto God, my heart knows. But whenever he called, it followed. It followed. He knows his children by name. It's interesting to go through and see. He told Moses, whenever Moses was there and asked us to see his glory, Moses reminded the Lord, as if though he needed some reminding. But he still did. He said, "Thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight." That's what Moses told the Lord. In other words, "Lord, you told me that you know me by name, and that I have found grace in your sight." If you found grace in his sight, let me tell you why. It's because he knew you by name. He knew you by personal things. I want to touch this real quickly and I'll stop. There's many out here that you'll see, and it's not to be critical, but it's just the truth. There's many out here who claim to have to know Him. There's many that only know Him by name only. They don't know Him by relationship. They only know Him by name. You go to Isaiah, and you'll find in the 4th chapter of Isaiah, and it says, "And in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man." And I want you to notice something. It didn't say 7 wives shall take hold of one husband. It never referred to Him as a husband. You know why? Because His bride is undefiled, is but one.